was not until, I guess, late afternoon before it stuck. So it's, for me, it was something that I would rather it be a lot sooner. But we're thankful for God's faithfulness. We want to actually, your bulletin say 2 Timothy 2:19. I'd like to start in verse 16 to kind of gather the context. 2 Timothy 2:16 says, "But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker or cancer, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless," this is where I want to camp out on, "the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." Let's pray. Father, how we rejoice in knowing that your foundation is sure. We pray, Father, that you would help us to look at this in light of our own present situation in our land and around the world so much anymore. We ask, Father, that you would help us to draw strength, and then may those who are lost to recognize the world is going down, 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 that they may find hope and a sure footing upon your sure foundation. We ask, God, now that you would hear our prayer, for we ask in the name of our Redeemer and our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, the rock of our salvation. Amen. The foundation of God standeth sure. What we want to look at this morning is seven sureties. Seven sureties as we look at this foundation of God that standeth sure. We see that in our text, it was a time of uncertainty. Timothy was experiencing opposition, persecution from without and from within. And so it looked very discouraging. And Paul did encourage him, but he also dealt with the reality. He didn't just say, "Well, everything's going to be all right. You just keep on keeping on." Now, he dealt with the reality. Like Brother James was talking about, you know, not putting his head in the sand or sweeping it under the rug or anything like that. He dealt with the reality because we need to understand, you know, those things keep coming back after. What about this? What about this? What about this? What about this? You know, and he doesn't bother to deal with every one of them, but he makes this one particular statement. In light of all this, the foundation of God standeth sure. And we see today uncertain times, shaky times, not just in this country, not just in communist countries and things like that, but even in our country, we see it. It's obvious to everyone. We see the political state of affairs is unstable. We see the economy going haywire. We see true churches are getting fewer and fewer. Morality is like a scarcity. And we look at these things and we see what people are doing. Some people are basically panicking. And they're, you know, trying this and trying that, and, "Well, I'm going to try this," or "I'm, you know," whatever it is. They're trying different things. They're panicking, almost like we can, if we're not careful, be like the preppers. And there's nothing wrong with being prepared, but if that consumes you, you miss the boat. My confidence and my salvation is not based on having hordes and hordes of food and water and ammunition and all these other kinds of things. That's not my hope. My hope is in the foundation of God that standeth sure. They got tanks. They got missiles and bombs and everything. That ain't going to do any good against that stuff. And then there's others who become listless. They've been numb to it all. That's what they want. You know that? They just want to keep doing it, keep doing it. Just like the LGBTQ, keep putting it in front of your face until, we become numb to it and we go along to get along. And people become careless. Become like the Stoics and are just fatalistic. Whatever happens, happens, and they don't do anything. Well, they were very fatalistic. But then you have the Epicureans. A lot of people are going down that path. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Let's just enjoy life. Well, you know what? Both of those philosophies will make things worse. They ain't going to help anything. God has called us to be light in this world. I was telling Brother James, light penetrates the darkness. The darkness never penetrates the light. Changes can be scary. Sometimes even good changes, you know, we think about maybe we're moving to a place we're looking forward to moving to, or we're got a new job that we're looking forward to, or whatever the case might be. And it's kind of exciting, but there's also a little bit of scariness and uneasiness because it's something new. There's some unknowns that we're not sure about. You probably like me. I like to know things for sure. You know, I don't like things like, doctor tells a patient, this surgery that you need might make you better and it might make you worse. I don't like that. But that's what this world is. I mean, our world is filled with things that aren't sure. And we have to come to terms with that. But I have good news here in our text. Good news. There are some things that are certain and sure, even forevermore, they are. You don't have to wonder. You don't have to worry because the foundation of God standeth sure. You know, when God says something is sure, we better believe it. It's to our benefit, actually, to believe it. And it's to our detriment, to our bad, if we don't believe it. What did God tell Adam and Eve? You eat that fruit of that tree of the garden of the knowledge of good and evil there in Genesis 2:17. And when you eat it, the day you eat it, you're going to die. Surely, it says, thou shalt surely die. Guess what? They ate and they died. When God says something, we better believe it. Didn't work out good. When we don't, we see there, and James was talking about there about children of Israel and the future and everything, and God telling Abraham about the 400 years. Guess what? God said it was going to happen, and it happened. But also we find there in Genesis 50, verse 24, and Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land into the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. What God says is true. You can look down through history. Oh, Satan tried to stop Jesus from coming into this world. Remember Athaliah and tried to kill all the seed royal. But he did not succeed. When Jesus was born, Herod tried to kill him. He did not succeed. Because the foundation of God standeth sure. They're trying to stamp out the Bible and Christian morality from this country and from this world, but they will fail because the foundation of God standeth sure. Don't forget that. May we not forget that. May I never forget that. Even in times of trouble, even when it's tough, like Paul was telling Timothy. You got to remember this, Timothy. It's going to be difficult, but always bear this in mind. The foundation of God standeth sure. Now, what we mean by all that, we'll get into in just a minute. But we want to look at seven sureties as we look at the foundation of God standeth sure. And the first thing we want to look at, and we've kind of touched on already, is the surety of the Scriptures. Again, when God says something, better believe it. There in Psalms 19:7 says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. No doubt about it. And we are testimonies to that, those of us who believe. We've experienced the converting of our souls. We've experienced what God's word can do. It standeth sure. The Scriptures stand sure. Psalms 93 verse 5. Thy testimonies are very sure. Holiness become in thy house, O Lord, forever. That, there's another sense in which it's very sure. In the sense that God's house is a house where people live holy lives. I didn't say perfect lives, but we live holy lives. We're not what we used to be. Praise God. Then we find there in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, one very familiar passage. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. Whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as into a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. We got a more sure word of prophecy. It's not just... just substance or symbols, it's substance. Not the old covenant. We got the new covenant, the everlasting covenant. Matthew 5 says even in verse 18, for verily, or surely, I say unto you, Jesus speaking, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. The foundation of God standeth sure. The surety of the Scriptures. But now secondly, we have the surety of our state. What I mean by state is our state of being. Our native spiritual state of being. Who we are is not what many try to tell us it is. We see there in Psalms 39 and verse 5 says this, makes no bones about it. It says, behold, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, without a doubt, with certainty, with surety, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Selah. Think about it. Selah. What do you mean, think about it? Well, I like what Riley picked out the bulletin for this week. She does it ever so often. And I like this. It goes right along with this point right here. Psalms 90, verse 12. Teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. That's what you need to think about. Well, our best day is nothing but altogether vanity, emptiness, nothing. And so we need to apply our hearts into wisdom. as we think of that. Now, why is that the case? Well, because of the surety of sin. Thirdly, the surety, or secondly, the surety of sin. Notice Numbers 32 and verse 23. But if ye will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord. And be sure, your sin will find you out. You'll be found to be a sinner. You'll be found to be condemned before God. His eyes, like a flame of fire, penetrates. Like his word, it penetrates. Like a sharp two-edged sword, dividing asunder both soul and spirit, the thoughts and intents of the heart. That means what Psalmist says there in Psalms 139, verse 19. Surely thou shalt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. The wicked's going to die in their sins. Because the wages of sin is death. We're going to die in their sins and be cast into the pit of hell. That's the surety of what happens when you sin and you don't have a Savior. When you don't have a foundation that is sure and steadfast. Romans 2:2 says, but we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. What is truth? Well, Jesus is the truth, number one, and his word is truth, number two, John 17:70. Word is truth. He's going to be judging us according to his word. Better look at the surety of the scriptures to see where you stand. Because it could come back. As I like to say, it's going to come back and bless you. It's going to come back and bite you or burn you. One of the two. But praise God, fourthly, we have the surety of the Savior. Notice in Isaiah 28, verse 16, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Now, that's Isaiah, and we find that Peter gives us a little insight in 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Notice how the word interprets the word. I like that. When the word interprets the word. There in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, and a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture. Here's that scripture in the Old Testament. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth in them shall not be confounded. We will not be ashamed because the foundation of God is sure. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. What are you talking about? Talking about that sure foundation. Talking about Jesus. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallow, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word. Jesus being the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. The surety of the Savior. We find that the scriptures tell us here in Psalms 95. This is something to rejoice in, folks. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. That foundation, that sure foundation that standeth sure. The world rejoices in all their nonsense. Are we going to let the world out-rejoice us? God forbid that it be so. We rob ourselves of the blessing when we do that. There in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 22, we'll get to later on in Hebrews, but it says, by so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. Again, not just the shadows, but the substance that is Jesus. Surety of a better testament. We see the surety of our Savior in what Jesus said to the religious leaders of that day. And they were bragging, oh, we're of Abraham's seed. And, you know, people say all kinds of things. Well, I'm of the whatever clan, or I'm an American, or I'm whatever. But we find that Jesus said unto them, John 8:58, verily, verily, surely, surely, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. He's the great I am. He is God. I am. He's existed always. It's hard for us to comprehend, but God has existed. Jesus has existed from eternity to eternity. From everlasting to everlasting. Thou art God. Isn't that great? There's not ever going to be a time when he's not God. There's never going to be a time when anybody's going to take him off the throne. There's never going to be a time where the foundation of God doesn't stand sure. I like what the disciples said in John 6:69. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, that Messiah, the Son of the living God. The question is this morning, do you believe? Do you believe? Do you have a sure foundation you're standing on concerning your eternity? Or are you just standing on some sinking sand of man's fickle, faulty reasoning and philosophy? Now it's great that Jesus is there's a surety of our Savior. But if he didn't ever save, it wouldn't do no good, would it? That's why the Bible talks about the surety of salvation. Notice there's 2 Timothy 2, our text. And verse 19, I'm going to look at the first part only this time, and then the next point, look at the next part. But it says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Again, this was in the backdrop of what was very discouraging and dark. And again, we need to look at it from that standpoint as we see the discouraging, dark time in which we are living. That's not too awful bad now in comparison to what it could be. Well, I want us to be ready now. I want you to be ready when you make some decisions that aren't based on the Word of God, and you're worse off instead of better off. Is waiting to the last minute the thing to do? Not usually very wise, is it? But notice it says that the foundation of God standeth sure. The kingdom of God cannot be shaken. Although there are those men like Hymenaeus and Philetus that make dangerous attacks on the church, and their message spreads like a cancer, and even overthrow the faith of some, the solid foundation of God standeth sure, regardless. God has a plan. God has a purpose. God has a strategy, and it's not going to fall. It's not going to fail. It doesn't matter how many people fall away. The Bible says that's what's going to happen. People's going to fall away. And we've seen it happen. And as discouraging as it is, don't let that discourage you to the point that you are weakened in your faith. Don't let that happen by the grace of God. Doesn't matter how many fall away, how many reject the truth, how many go on their own way after the profane and vain babblings of such false prophets. The foundation of God standeth sure. Puny man is not going to stop God. The creature is not going to stop the creator. That foundation, of course, as we noted there in Isaiah, is Christ. He is the foundation of all foundations. He's the sure foundation. And then we have the foundation of the Lord's church. Notice there in 1 Timothy 3:15, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou ought to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Jesus promised there in Matthew 16:18, that the gates of hell shall not prevail against his church. There's always going to be a church. I don't care how bad it gets. May God help us to defy Satan to his face if it takes that. And by the grace of God, we shall not be moved. We don't live in fear. We live by faith. Now, he goes on to say, having this seal. There are two seals mentioned here. The first one I want to deal with in this point. And what seal is that? Well, we can look at it in a lot of different ways, but we know that in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30 it says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. When we were born again of the Holy Spirit, we were sealed. Nothing can break that seal. There's no kind of acidity, no kind of knife that'll ever be able to break it. We're sure and sealed because the foundation of God stands sure. But the other thing that we see here in this passage, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. He knows who are his. He's not confused as to who is his. We look over there, Numbers 16, we see a similar case where it may have been come from, but in Numbers 16:5 it says, and he spake unto Korah and to all his company, saying, even tomorrow the Lord will show who are his and who is holy, and will cause him to come near unto him, even him whom he hath chosen. Notice he causes them and he chooses them. Will he cause to come near unto me? You know what I see all over that passage? God's sovereign grace. God's sovereign grace. That is part of the foundation of God that standeth sure. Christ isn't going to lose one of them. Whom God has chosen, they are on the sure foundation. Again, doesn't matter if the Hymenaeus and Philetus's continue their destructive ministry. The Lord knows those that are His, in spite of the profane, vain babblings that we hear today. People's faith being overthrown. The Lord knows who are His. Notice what it says there in John 10, verse 27. My sheep, those that are His. My sheep, Jesus says, hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Man, God doesn't sit in heaven wondering and wringing his hands, wondering who are His. He's not like that. He's not wondering and worrying about anything. That's not the kind of God I want. That's not going to give me any comfort. Notice there in Ephesians 1:4, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. The greatest of these is charity. I preached a message while back about love never loses. The foundation of God stands sure. Jesus speaking there in John chapter 6 and verse 37. He says, and all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh me I will in no wise cast out. What a comfort that is. In spite of our failures and our weaknesses, as Brother James was talking about, He's never going to cast us out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which he has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day. Now, he doesn't say might, possibly. It's going to happen. Hebrews 6:19 says, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. He's going to deliver us from every evil work and every evil one. In fact, it says in Psalm 91:3, surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. The greatest fowler there is Satan, as he lays those snares in our life to trip us up, to trap us, make our life miserable. I like this passage, Psalm 23:6. Surely, surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now that's the consummation of salvation, when it all comes together, when we are saved, both body and soul. But now let's look sixthly at the surety of sanctification. The Bible tells us that if you're saved, something happens to you. You're a different person. You're not like what you used to be. Some people's life maybe outwardly look more changed than others. But we're talking about the inside. That's what really matters. Because if you got it in the inside, it's going to show itself on the outside. But it says in 1 John 2:5, but whoso keepeth his word. In him verily, surely, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. How do we know if we're in him? When we keep God's word. Again, we know we were not talking about perfection, but we are striving, we are seeking, we are living the life. That's what God's people do. There's a difference. Like we said there in Numbers there with the sons of Korah. Verse 16, or chapter 16 in Numbers, verse 5, it says, and he spake unto the Korah and all his company, saying, tomorrow the Lord will show who are his and who is holy. The ones that are his are the ones who are holy. And they're the ones that come near to him. But let's look at our text again. 2 Timothy 2:19. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from evil. This is the second seal of the foundation of God that standeth sure. Are those who forsake their sins. We're in a constant state of repentance. You know that, right? We sin. We're supposed to pray all the time. Forgive us our trespasses. We forgive those who trespass against us. We're to always be praying, and that's part of the prayer. That's part of the model prayer. And we sin daily if we're honest with ourselves. We know that. But the righteous man falls down seven times and gets back up, the book of Proverbs says. We fall down in our sin and we repent of our sin. We get back up. That's the beauty of God's grace. That's the beauty of the foundation of God standing sure in sanctification. It's fair to ask, if somebody didn't depart from their sins, are you really saved or are you deceiving yourself? Are you playing some game? That's called hypocrisy, and Jesus never has any good things to say about hypocrisy. Now, we could say that we all are hypocrites in one sense because we say one thing and then we end up doing the opposite. But I'm talking about those who are trying to make an open show that, oh, I'm so holy. I'm such a good person. I'm okay. We realize that we are sinners still. We're just simply sinners saved by grace. We're simply sinners who are trying to live the life that Christ has called us to. We're simply sinners who have the victory in our Lord Jesus Christ, not only over the judgment to come, but in sin. We gain victories. The world can't. The foundation of God isn't going to change. But now, seventh and last, the surety of super reward. I love studying words and noticing what the origin is and where did it come from, where did that come from, and all this. You know, Riley talks about crisscross applesauce. What in the world does applesauce have to do with crossing your leg like an Indian? I don't know. One of these days, maybe I'll look it up and see what that means. But anyway, I guess just because it rhymes, maybe. I don't know. But I was looking up, I go to a website, and I look up, you know, a thesaurus, you know what that is, you look for synonyms and stuff like that. I came across this word called super reward. Super reward. And it's actually one word, it's not two. Now, Microsoft Word put that little jiggly line under it, you know, like, oh, no, you misspelled it. This ain't a real word. But it said it. I looked in the dictionary, so online, so who knows if it's right or not. But nonetheless, it fits the surety of super reward. What do I mean by that? Well, it's amazing that God is going to reward us for things that only his grace enabled us to do. It's only by his grace we're able to do what we do, and yet he's going to reward us. That's super reward. That word super reward means that which is relatively great or excessive. I mean, it's like what David said, my cup runneth over. That's what heaven's going to be like. It's going to be like our cup runneth over. And we experience a little bit of that already. That kind of reward. But it says there in Proverbs 11, 18, the wicked worketh a deceitful work, but to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward. Jesus said in Matthew 10, 42, and whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of water, only in the name of the disciple, verily I say unto you, verily I say unto you, he shall not in no wise lose his reward. The world imagines that it can make things stand sure. They think they can. Oh, they thought they were going to build that Tower of Babel, and boy, they were patting themselves on the back, as I'm sure, as they were building that thing. It came to naught. There in Matthew 27, look what it says there in verse 64. Speaking of the burial of Christ. Command, therefore, that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead, so that the last hour shall be worse than the first. Pilate said unto them, ye have a watch, some guards. Go your way, make it as sure as you can. So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. Well, we know the rest of the story, don't we? Jesus obliterated what the world said was sure, because he's the foundation of God that standeth sure. And he rose from the dead, victorious over death, over hell, and over the grave. The world, again, they think they can stand on their own two feet. Pull themselves by their own bootstraps. Yeah, right. Wait a few years. See how you might change your tune when you get older and you're on your deathbed. You ain't going to be able to do that. In fact, we see the world's going to realize it one day. That they can't make things stand. And they can't stand. They're standing on the sinking sand. There in Revelation 6:17, speaking of Christ when he returns, it says, for the great day of his wrath has come. This is what the people are saying who don't know Jesus. And who shall be able to stand? In other words, we ain't going to be able to stand. Let me ask you, are you going to stand forever on the sure foundation of God? Are you going to fall and be forever in the pit of hell? It's one or the other. Hell is just as sure as heaven. Jesus says, not just one verily, he says two verilies, two surelies. In John 10, 1, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. And verse 7, it says, I'm the door. If you try to get to heaven any other way, there's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved but into Jesus Christ. There's no other way. The world tries to say, oh, one way is just as good as another, even though they contradict each other. That's ridiculous. That's the insanity of this world. It's not even logical or reasonable. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. I love this order there in Matthew 8, 13. Jesus speaking, he says, and said, verily, I say unto you, except ye be converted, I love this. Notice the order here. And become as little children. You can't become as a little child until you've been converted. And that's a work of the Holy Spirit. Until ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Don't you see how crazy this world is? Why do you want to go along with that? Time will tell. When the going gets tough, we'll find out who are the sheep and the goats. And I hope and pray all of us are the sheep. We got it still pretty easy now. Pray God to help us to be faithful and stand on that sure foundation of Jesus Christ. He says here in John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. May that be true for everyone here. I thank your attention to the word of God.